The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. For the most comprehensive industry news and information, visit our website at irei.com and sign up for our free daily news alerts.
Welcome to the Dorman Report for March 2018. Mike Consul here with Jeff Dorman. And I can tell our listeners that almost 6 years ago, I joined IREI. I had spent almost my entire professional life covering business, and a great deal of that was real estate. So coming aboard, I had a good deal of confidence in the subject matter I was going to cover. What I didn't realize was just how different institutional real estate was, especially when you're dealing with pension funds and foundations, endowments, and sovereign wealth funds and the like. There was an awful lot that I had to learn still. And one of the very first things that Jeff Dorman had me do when I came aboard was to attend a Market Navigator event, which was held in a San Francisco hotel ballroom or meeting room, I should say. And it was one of the most valuable things that I had done, that Jeff had done for me, because it was just a tremendous amount of information that despite all my years of covering real estate and covering business in general, was not privy to. And I bring this up because Jeff was talking to me just a little while ago, and Jeff, you're talking about bringing back the Market Navigator program, which has been fallow for a little while. First of all, why did it go fallow? And let's talk about its comeback.
Well, it went fallow because, to be honest with you, I just got tired of teaching it. We had taught it every year for probably about 10 years, and usually we taught it two or three times a year. And, you know, it just got kind of stale for me. But what we did the time we taught it is we recorded it. And you can actually take the class online by downloading it. You can download it from our website for a fee if you want to take it kind of at your leisure as a self-paced course. So you can go on, watch a couple hours or watch an hour, and then come back. But it's not the same thing as being there, because the course involves a lot of interaction with the students where they're asking a lot of questions, and sometimes, you know, there'll be some senior people in the room taking the course just out of curiosity or to learn a few things, a few extra tricks. And, you know, they'll add some value to the course. And then, in addition, there's a lot of role play when we get into the professional selling skills part of the course. And in a nutshell, if it's going to describe it, it's a four-day class that begins at noon on Monday and ends at noon on Friday. And it's open to anybody who's responsible for sales, marketing, capital fundraising results. I would say including experienced as well as newbie sales and marketing execs and support personnel. And we've had a lot of support people go through it too, people that aren't client-facing but nevertheless are supporting the people that are client-facing, because there's a lot of nuances to the business, and it's a way for those people to learn as well. And each person that comes gets a workbook containing all the slides and handouts employed in the course, and they also will get ongoing complimentary access to our online videotaped version so they can review any of the course material anytime they want.
Which I should say is essential, and I'll tell you why, because while Jeff has just said that this course goes on for days, the fact of the matter is there's so much information and it's so rapid fire that it's impossible to absorb it all in one sitting. That's why the handout's essential, and also to have access to that online course and to be able to review it and go through it at your own pace so that you can absorb that information is absolutely essential. That's one of the things that kind of blew me away, Jeff, was that you go in a very rapid fire fashion, but there seems to be no end to the information. And like you were saying, there were some senior people in the room, and you definitely learn from other people in the room, but like me, probably to a lesser extent than me, even though these were very experienced people and been in the business for some time, it was very clear that they were learning just a ton from this course.
Yeah, well, we can talk a little too, if you like, Mike, about the curriculum and what we cover in the course.
Yeah,
maybe that helps them listen. Well, the first thing is, particularly for people that aren't that familiar with the course, this part of it is not nearly as interesting to more senior people. But we go over the size, dynamics, and market segments that comprise the institutional investor universe, both globally and domestically. examining the differences between each of the segments and the implications for capital fundraising and relationship building. So what does that include? Well, it includes an introduction to various types of institutional investors, even starting as basic as what is a pension fund. And it covers the differences between defined benefit and defined contribution pension funds and how they're staffed differently and where real estate fits within the context of what they're trying to accomplish. It talks about the endowment and the foundation sector. It talks about insurance companies, sovereign wealth funds, family offices, and gives details regarding how each of these tend to be organized and the roles played by the various members of their investment staff and how they're governed and how their boards of trustees, their investment committees work, and all of that. So it kind of is a, here are the players, and here's what they're trying to accomplish, and this is how real estate kind of fits into everything. And then, and by the way, you know, since we started the Market Navigator, started to work in the area of infrastructure, and it's also a great course for people who are involved in the infrastructure business. Even though what they're selling, specifically infrastructure, is different, the roles that these investments all play, because they're all real assets, are relatively similar, even though the structure of the investment itself is quite different. So somebody that's marketing in the infrastructure sector would find it quite interesting, I think, too. Then we get into the language and culture of the market, which includes an overview of the regulatory environment in the U.S. and elsewhere around the globe, you know, definitions of securities and institutional real estate and infrastructure investment terminology, and a glossary of terms is also included in the program. And then we spend a lot of time talking about the role that real estate and infrastructure investments play in an institutional portfolio. Because if you're going to be selling these products, you really have to understand how the buyer is looking at them and what they're doing for them. And a lot of people, particularly people from the, you know, commercial real estate side of the business who don't have any institutional capital fundraising experience, a lot of them, you know, are somewhat naive about the role that this whole thing is playing in their portfolio. You know, the attitude tends to be kind of, God, if they only knew how great I am and what I do is, they'd all be spending money with me. These dummies just don't get it and they don't understand. And what they don't understand is, this is part of an overall investment portfolio. And so we spend a lot of time talking about that to help people understand that, because we actually tell people, you know, because these guys speak a language that sounds an awful lot like English, it's really easy to think you understand what they're talking about, when in reality it would be better if they spoke Chinese, because then you'd know you're dealing with a different language and culture. So that's something we talk about. Another thing we cover is a brief overview of performance measurement and performance benchmarks and how those work for each of the four quadrants of the real estate and infrastructure capital markets, and how investors use those benchmarks and how they calculate and all those sorts of things. Obviously, you know, that could be a four-day course in itself to go into the great depth, but it's to give you, it's kind of a survey course. It gives you an overview. So at least you have a basic understanding of how all these things work. We then go through the typical steps in the investment manager hiring process from the investor's point of view first, in terms of what they're looking for and how they go about making their investment criteria, how they underwrite investment managers, including details on what to expect and how to prepare for managing the due diligence process, you know, how presentations typically are made to them and what they're looking for in those presentations, all those kinds of things are covered. And then we reverse engineer it and talk about the capital fundraising process from the investment manager's point of view, including an overview of the competitive landscape and, you know, how to evaluate a competitor's strengths and weaknesses and how to position your firm in the market against your competitors, which is one of the biggest challenges that people are facing, because I think probably the most common thing we hear from investors is, God, there's way too many investment managers selling way too many products and services, and they all sound alike. And part of the reason for that is a lot of investment managers haven't been really skilled in the process of positioning and don't really understand how to articulate a story that really differentiates the firm. And so we talk about that and help people understand that. Then we shift into an introduction to communication and relationship building skills, including the three components of effective communication, the critical steps that most people often miss, and the nature of a relationship and what elements in a relationship are the key to keep good communication flowing, as well as what to do whenever good communication channels start to break down. You know, like when somebody's involved in a meeting and everything's going really good, and then all of a sudden the person they're talking to seems to clam up and get a little non-responsive. What's going on and how do you deal with that? So we talk about that. What else do we talk about?
Well, I do want to emphasize, while you're thinking about some of the other chapters, that the anecdotes, this is part of what you were alluding to, this idea that how do you go into a meeting and actually differentiate yourself? You also talked about anecdotes. I mean, this is what you, part of what you bring to the course that is really essential, is that you've had so many meetings, you've met with so many industry bosses, so many people who have so much experience, and you bring those right down to the grassroots level. And I remember that you had said, you know, you can't walk in on these people and have an intimate, a professionally intimate conversation the first time, because you're asking them to reveal themselves in their professional entirety, and they haven't even gotten to know you yet.
Yeah, well, the whole curriculum for this course is based on a number of things. You know, it's based on my 10 years working in the business when I was starting out on the retail side, raising money through financial planning from individual and high net worth investors, and then the last 2.5 years of that period of time working, raising capital from institutions, where I was the top producer in my organization in terms of capital fundraising. And then, you know, for the last 30 years, I've been working with some of the best capital fundraisers in the market, and I've had a chance to observe what works and what doesn't work. And I've also been working closely with investors, not just at our editorial advisory board meetings, but oftentimes, you know, going out and meeting with their boards, and sometimes presenting to their boards and interacting with their boards and doing Q&A with their boards. So you really get a really good understanding of what best practices in the business looks like. So, and we try to break it down and make it simple. So when we're looking at the capital fundraising process, we typically break it down into three different but very distinct processes. The first is the discovery process, where you're trying to find out and learn about what the individual investor is thinking about and what they're trying to accomplish. Then there's the presentation, which we consider to be a really defining moment of the whole process, because once you give them your presentation, it's over. There's nothing more to talk about. So you better make sure that when you're given that presentation, you know enough to be able to make sure that presentation is going to be well accepted. And second of all, you don't give it too early, because then it's over. You know, there's not much more that you can do. And then finally, we talk about closing and how do you organize the closing process, and how do you do all of those things for optimal results.
That is so critical right there, because there's so many people. I've known so many over the years, because I've worked with salespeople for many, many years, and there's a lot of people who are very good with sales, but it's the closing that's the difficult part. I always considered myself to be somebody who would sit there and articulate things very well and dope everything out in a way that would get the other party excited about the prospects of doing business. But I never fancied myself a closer, and it seems like very few people are closers. And that is probably, I mean, in addition to learning all the traps along the way that you warn people about, learning how to actually close a piece of business is, well, let's face it, if you can't close business, you're going to be out of business.
Well, actually, in the institutional world, it's not quite the same, because it's a very complicated process that usually involves multiple decision makers. And the idea of a close, the way most salespeople think of closing, just doesn't occur that way. It's really the process of managing the steps that the investor has to take to come to a decision to hire your firm. And so we kind of reverse engineer that. Most people are focusing on the things that they're doing as salespeople. We get people to focus on the things the investor is doing as an investor. In other words, we consider the art of selling the art of managing the investment process. We're helping the investor make investment decisions. That's what we're doing. And when you start thinking about it in terms of that thing, that kind of a framework, you come to quickly realize that it's the things that the investor is doing that are important, not the things that you're doing. You're only doing things to help the investor do the things that they have to do and they were hired to do. And if you're not the right fit for them, and fit is so important in institutional investment decision-making, you should recognize that and stop pushing, you know, and move on to the next guy, because there's always somebody out there that's going to fit well with what you have to offer, unless you don't have anything worthwhile offering to begin with. And if you're not getting any traction, that should tell you something. Then we talk about the role of general and asset-specific consultants and the fund-to-fund manager universe, and how you can work more effectively with consultants, including, you know, best practices for responding to consultant questionnaires and requests for information and proposals, as well as investor-generated requests for information and requests for proposals. Also, we talk a lot about how to develop long-term relationships with consulting firms, you know, what to do, what not to do. And again, a lot of this has come from years of interacting with consulting firms and listening to their complaints about the things investment managers do that absolutely drive them nuts. And the things that investment managers think about consultants that also drive them nuts. Then we focus on getting a, you know, helping them develop a step-by-step, giving them step-by-step guidelines on how to develop a clearer, more accountable, more systematic overall approach to relationship building and capital fundraising, including how to create relationship building objectives for each progressive stage in the process from discovery through presentation and closing, and how to monitor progress along the way so the marketing executive, his or her supervisor, always knows precisely where they are in the relationship building process. Because too many times, you know, you go on a call and you have a good time and you come back and your boss says, well, how'd you do? And you go, it was great. They really liked us. It was really great. The problem with that is that could be in the beginning of the relationship building process, in the middle or at the end. It doesn't tell you anything. What you want to be able to say is, we set these four different objectives for the call and I accomplished three of them, so the next time I go back, I got to get the fourth one and then I'll set a new set of objectives. Then we know exactly where you are. And I'm not you wouldn't say it generically. You'd specifically talk about the objectives you set for the call, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we also talk about the importance of positioning. And so few investment managers really think enough about this. In other words, how to define a more clearly well-differentiated position in the market and how to establish that position firmly in the minds of the decision makers in your market. Because most of the investment managers out there are working way too hard. You know, people don't know who they are or they're not familiar with them or they aren't a household name. And naturally, you're going to be wary, you know, when somebody comes knocking on your door. So, you know, by thinking about how to position your firm firmly in somebody's mind so that they become comfortable with it, and so it absolutely becomes just a natural thing to want to open up and start dialoguing, can smooth the relationship building process so much. And yet most people don't spend any money in this area at all. They don't try to position their firms in any way, shape, or form. And quite frankly, because they don't, they're working harder than they do, and they're not getting as good a return on their marketing dollar, on their sales dollar. When we talk about what is a brand, why are brands important, and how to establish, build, strengthen, and defend your firm's brand identity in the market. And then towards the tail end of the course, a good part of the last day and a half to last 2 days is on what we call professional selling skills. And while this isn't exactly the same as the system that was developed by Xerox Learning Systems in the 60s and 70s to train the Xerox sales team, it's built off the same principles. So this is a facilitated training program with plenty of opportunities for hands-on role-playing to help participants practice, refine, and master the skills that they'll be learning during the course. And this part of the curriculum covers things like questioning skills, you know, how to devise and how to ask better questions, listening skills, how to start to learn how to listen to really understand what's being said instead of listening to respond, which is the way most salespeople listen. They're really not as good as listeners as they think they are because they're always thinking about how to respond instead of really thinking about how to ask the deeper question to develop a deeper understanding of where the person's coming from. We talk about acknowledging skills, learning how to kind of keep the conversation conversational and not feel like an inquisition. We talk about presentation skills, how to formulate and prepare a presentation that will work. We talk about facilitation skills, how to get people engaged in a more interactive format with you in your presentations. We talk about demonstration skills, how to demonstrate what it is that you've got to offer. And people don't think about that when they're talking about intangibles, which is what we're all selling when we're selling investment management products and services. And yet, there are ways to make what appears to be intangible a lot more tangible. Peter Aldrich, who was one of the founders of AAW, was a master at this. He used to use props and other things in his presentation to help make what is intangible more tangible, more understandable to the people they're talking to. We also talk about how to recognize and more effectively handle the four most common forms of sales resistance, which is indifference, misunderstandings, perceived drawbacks, and doubt. And probably the most important one, and the one that most people misunderstand, is indifference, which is really the natural state of a human being. Most people are naturally indifferent to what it is you're selling before they know what it is. You know, the typical response is, I don't know what you're selling, but I'm pretty sure I don't need it, right? And so we're all like that, by the way. It's not just investors that are like that. So, you know, learning how to deal with that and how to get past that is really also pretty important. And then finally, you know, also covered during the program is when to engage other professionals from your firm in meetings with prospective investors. You know, you don't want to get your portfolio managers, your acquisition guys out on the road all the time, but there's a point in time when it makes sense to start to engage them. And so this kind of gives you an idea about when to do that. We also talk about how to design and give more effective presentations. And, you know, that's an area where everybody could benefit, because if you looked at all the pitch books that are out there in the marketplace, they all follow exactly the same format. And if you hire a professional to help you put your pitch book together, they're going to draw from what everybody else does. And again, what is the number one thing that most investors will tell you about pitches? They all sound pretty much alike. Well, no duh, everybody's copying everybody else. So what we do is we teach people how to do a presentation that is focused less on their company and more on the needs of their client, and to gradually, slowly step them towards the ultimate agreement that you want to get them to take, which is the agreement to invest with your firm, instead of starting out with asking them to invest with your firm and then backing into the presentation. In other words, for most of us, the presentations are the right presentation, they're just in the wrong order. So we teach them how to look at that more creatively. We also teach them how to work more effectively with investors with large, complex organizations where there's a lot of multiple decision makers and decision influencers involved. And then, in addition, we bring in people from the outside. So we'll have three different panel discussions interspersed throughout the program where they have a chance to ask questions. It's not like the panels are talking about anything. The panels are there to answer their questions. And so we'll have an investor panel so they can ask investors questions about how investors look at the world and look at investment managers who marketed them. We have a consultant panel so that the consultants can do that. And then we have a placement agent senior marketing executive panel so we can learn from some of the best in the industry. So it's an incredibly information-packed course with also a lot of role play and opportunity to practice what you're learning and put it into practice. So in over the course of the 5 days over which the course is taught, you're just going to come away with a much deeper understanding of the business. And even if you've been, you know, raising capital for years, you'll pick up a few pointers that'll make it well worth your time. And if you've got a team of people that you'd like to see perform better, you couldn't do anything better than send them through the course. But here's the bad news. The bad news is we haven't committed to do this yet. What we're doing right now is we're looking for indications of interest from people who think they might want to either attend themselves or send some of their people to attend. So if somebody is interested in doing that, what they should do is they should email me at g.dohrmann@iree.com and say, yeah, I'm kind of interested in coming, or I'm kind of interested in sending some of our people to that program. And then if we get to a critical mass where a sufficient number of people are interested in it, we'll just turn around and send out formal invitations to come, and people can get enrolled and all that sort of thing.
And where would this be held, Jeff? I mean, is it a particular city, or would it move based on where the interest is?
It'll depend on where the interest is. So if a critical mass builds up in Chicago, we'll do it in Chicago. If a critical mass builds up in New York, we'll do it in New York. If it's in L.A., we'll do it in L.A. If it's in the Bay Area, we'll do it in the Bay Area. The key is to try to do it to reduce as much travel costs for the participants as we possibly can. In the past, about half the classes come from cross-country. So, again, you know, you're probably traveling either on a Monday morning or a Sunday night, and leaving on Friday afternoon, and that's the way you should plan it. This is not a course that somebody should come late for, and it's not a course that somebody should leave early for, or they're going to miss some of the most important parts of the course.
Yeah, it's a commitment. It's definitely a commitment, and you miss out on a lot, even if you're absent for a single day of this. I will point out that in addition to this podcast, and Jeff mentioned it on the website, irei.com, if you go to the resource tab, the pull-down menu there will say Market Navigator Series, and there is a brief video on there, with Jeff outlining the Market Navigator course. And as he says, it is available online, and you can buy it there. It's a great supplement, I think, and from my own experience, it's a great supplement to going to the live event and seeing that in person, and then using that to keep it, to more fully absorb it, and to keep it alive over the span of years, for that matter.
Well, there's a lot of facilitation that goes on in the class work where we're not just presenting information, but facilitating live discussions about it. And so you're only going to capture that group's live discussion, and you're not going to be able to participate in it. So I really do encourage people, if they can take the time, to commit to come to the course. It'll be a life changer for them if they do. And, you know, again, it's open to anybody who wants to raise capital from institutional investors. And that would include, you know, marketing execs and marketing support people at investment managers, but also could include, you know, capital markets people from, you know, development companies or operating companies who are looking to form joint ventures with these people. The members of our Institute for Real Estate Operating Company, for example, are going to be invited to participate in this because they'll get some value out of it. And not only is it a lot of information, it's also a lot of fun. The participants always have a good time, and we've received, you know, tremendously positive feedback from people who've attended in the past.
Yeah, there's definitely some laughs that go along with it, and new relationships and all that. So it really is, I can speak from personal experience, it really is, it's a great time. And, you know, I'm biased, but nobody knows his business like Jeff Dorman. I mean, it really is true. And that I've learned from the many meetings I've attended with him. That said, IREI.com, Resource Center, Market Navigator. Interest in going to the live course, again, Jeff Dorman's email address is g.dorman@irei.com. Jeff, looking forward to getting the live portion of Market Navigator relaunched.
Yeah, me too.